The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
From Max Kellerman, The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And after yesterday at the Masters, you would have thought that collectively the field would have to get on the line with Progressive Insurance and figure out if psychiatrists were covered. Because it was a brutal golf course yesterday where Justin Rose shot, I think, the best first round I've ever seen at the Masters. To shoot 7 under 65 yesterday on that golf course, where it was a bloodbath for the rest of the field, especially in the afternoon. He played in the afternoon, and now what's happening today? Here comes the cavalry charge. Man, this is such a great event. We always talk, you know, Jay Billis says every year, Duke, North Carolina never disappoints. The Masters never disappoints. Because if it's a blowout win, it's some legend like Tiger blowing everyone out and lapping the field, and it's dramatic. Or it becomes just a household name after household name at the top of the leaderboard, and that is starting to take shape because Justin Rose is one over par on his round today on a much easier golf course. And here comes the cavalry charge behind him. Players that are already done. Mark Leishman, 5 under for the day. He's 5 under for the championship. He is one shot back. Bernd Wiesberger shoots 6 under today. He's now 4 under. He's 2 shots back. They're done. Brian Harman also 4 under par. He's 2 shots behind Justin Rose. But here come some of those household names. Tony Finau, 5 under through 12. 3 under overall. 3 shots back. Justin Thomas, 4 under through 12. 3 under overall. He's 3 shots back. And Jordan Spieth also only 3 shots back at 2 under par through 11. He's playing the 12th as we speak, and he's actually on the tee. And since we've got the rights, I could probably tell you what Jordan Spieth does with his tee shot. It is airborne at number 12, and he is staring it down. And this will land in the front bunker. So Jordan Spieth's going to have to try to get up and down at number 12 to stay at -3. But Justin Rose, you know, talk about how unbelievably unpredictable, impossible to figure out golf is. Justin Rose is like the embodiment of what makes this sport so great, so vexing, so impossible to figure out. Because there's really no other parallel. Watching him yesterday, I'm doing this show from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern time, and he's meandering through his round. He's even par through 9 or 10. He was standing on the 8th tee at 2 over. He was a non-factor. He was like the rest of the field. He couldn't get anything going. And then after the show's over, as the show was ending yesterday, there were a couple of guys, I think it was Matsuyama and Harman, were at the top of the leaderboard at -3. And I was saying yesterday, watching this golf tournament, it's like watching the U.S. Open. These guys can't do better than -3. I mean, -3 is going to lead overnight. If anybody in the afternoon even gets to -3, I'll be impressed. And then after the show's over, I go upstairs in my house, because I'm doing the show from my basement as we speak, click on the TV, and I watch Justin Rose. He is staking every single shot. He is bouncing approach shots a foot away from flags. He's making birdies. He's making eagles. He shoots 7 under par on a day where I didn't think anybody, including all of the guys that played in the morning when it was easier, would ever do better than 3 under. He was as much in the zone as you could be. Justin Rose yesterday was in the zone. Like I said, it was the best first round I have ever seen someone shoot at the Masters. I've never seen on a golf course that hard a player play better than that. And then what happens today? The same guy, if you watched him this morning. He's 1 over par now through 15. He is 8 shots worse today than he was yesterday. And not only is that not surprising, it's what you expect. The same guy yesterday that was unconscious. He's knocking down flagsticks. He was scraping it around one-handed shots, flaring balls off into the woods, almost four-putted a par-3 green. He's lost. And I bet after he's done today, that will be the first question the media asks him. How were you that guy yesterday and this guy today? And the only answer is golf. It's that sport. This sport gets in your head unlike any other sport. I was trying to think of a parallel. And even, you know, talking to Bubba and Raj, we were, you know, doing our Zoom call earlier, getting ready for the show, and we were kicking around ideas. Even Liam Chapman, who's, you know, was threw this one out as well, one of the guys that's the grand poobahs of ESPN Radio, he said maybe a field goal kicker. I threw out a starting pitcher. Like, what other example is there in sports where you could be one guy one day, one guy one outing, and a complete 180 helpless the next day to try and do the same thing you did yesterday? Right? Like, it's not like LeBron James is going to go out there as one of the best players in the world. Like, Justin Rose is one of the best players in the world. All right, we're not talking about, you know, a guy that gets lucky in a Monday qualifier trying to get in the back door for an event. Justin Rose is one of the best players in the world. So pick an NBA version of one of the best players in the world. You're not going to get LeBron James or Kawhi or Jimmy Buckets, you know, Steph Curry. They're not going to go for 40 one night and then two nights later go for like six, right? They might go for 40 one night and then a couple of nights later have 22, but they're always going to be in the 20s and the upper teens. Well, they're not going to like totally look like they forgot what they were doing 2 days ago. That's what happens in golf, right? I mean, the best players in the world at this sport can look like one guy one day and completely a different player the next day. And that is the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So here's Sergio Garcia. This is what he said about what Augusta National felt like to him playing it yesterday.
It's the way it is. I fought hard, but I don't know. I feel like I just came out of the ring with Evander Holyfield, you know, like a 12-round match.
He's right. I mean, it was like going 12 rounds with Holyfield. Watching Justin Rose, I mean, guys are just leaking oil all over the place yesterday. They couldn't keep balls close to the hole. And Justin Rose is out there knocking down flagsticks. And he just made a birdie at 16. So even, and Justin Rose, here again is golf inside of one round. He shoots 39 on the front nine today, three over par on the front, after going seven under for his round yesterday. Goes three over par on the front nine today. He was lucky to be three over. He was saving shots out there to be three over. He could have shot 42, 43 in a heartbeat on the front nine today. Didn't. Scraped it around, figured out a way to make a few pars, made the turn, and now has stabilized things on the back nine. Now he is three under on the back nine, back to even par for the day, seven under. He leads the Masters by two, but he's the only non-red number, for the most part, in the top 10 or top 12 guys. I mean, all these under Leishman. These are scores today. Justin Rose is even. Leishman, 5-under. Wiesberger, 6-under. Harmon, 1-under. Finau, 5-under. Justin Thomas, 4-under. Spieth, 2-under. Siwoo Kim, 2-under. Cameron Champ, 3-under. So these guys have all made up a tremendous amount of ground on Rose today, and all that does is set up exactly what you think the weekend at the Masters will be. It is going to be tremendous drama. You know it's going to be, and we're looking for that kind of drama because we don't have Tiger. We don't have Tiger in this event. You are looking for some great names to be up there battling it out. If we get a weekend where we get Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, and there's some other guys that are still lurking around the league. Like Patrick Reed hadn't even started yet. He's minus two, so he's still very much in it. Tommy Fleetwood, Morikawa. I mean, all these guys are within seven shots of the lead but have made up ground on Justin Rose today. And these par fives can always yield bogeys, double bogeys, or eagles. There are so many different holes at Augusta that can be swing holes, momentum holes, and it is be a lot of fun to watch all weekend. We're going to talk to Dan Orlovsky, by the way, coming up in a minute, about the NFL, but also he's a golf nut like me. So we're going to talk Masters because I know he's watching every single shot of this, and he's also my partner on college football. So it'll be fun to talk to Dan Orlovsky about the upcoming draft and all the quarterback movement, and we'll get to that in a minute. One other thing I wanted to bring up, though, and we were talking about the Lakers yesterday as well, something that really impressed me again last night about the Lakers. The Lakers still obviously without the big two. Before the game last night in Miami, you find out they're without their big three. Because now we find out that Kyle Kuzma is also out. And then we find out Talen Horton-Tucker off the bench is not going to be able to play. So they're without four of, say, their top seven players in their rotation. And they take a team in the Heat that last year went to the finals all the way down to the wire on the road. It just lends credence to the theory we were giving yesterday. And this is why I wanted to know from Laker fans, where are you where the panic meter is concerned? Are you at a 2, a 5, a 10? Because you don't want to be playing a play-in game. We talked to Jordan Schultz about that yesterday. But there's also this feeling, I think, among Laker fans that once you get your guys back, you're going to be fine. And so, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But I was really impressed with what the Lakers were able to do last night on the road against a Heat team that had all their guys, took them right down to the wire when the Lakers are basically without the top of their rotation, certainly their top three. That's the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bob Wischusen sitting in for Max Kellerman on the Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. If you want to give us a call, you certainly can at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So the golf is out there. The NBA is out there. Let's do some golf, and also let's do some football right now with my college football partner, Dan Orlovsky, who I know is at a time of the year where he is thirsting for quality time with me. Like, we don't get a chance at this time of the year to spend a lot of time together. And, Danny, I know it hurts you that that's the case.
It's actually something I've been sitting here. I'm going, man, the weather's starting to turn. Living in the Northeast, that's been great. Kids' school starting to slow down in Connecticut. We got a spring break coming up, but I feel like I've been yearning for something. And I feel I felt empty. And then I've realized, oh, I just haven't had the chance to argue about stuff with Bob Wischusen.
Right. And so now your cup runneth over because now we get to argue. We'll talk about football in a minute, but you know what? I knew I was bringing a fellow golf nut on. And look, you and I go out and we spray it all over the place and we chop it up, but we watch every single stroke of every single hole that we can. Certainly of the majors, and the Masters is probably the best one of them all to watch because it's the first one and we're dying to get outside and the azaleas and dogwoods are blooming and it just looks so good. I mean, when it's on, I know you feel the same way. You just feel happy when you turn the Masters on and it's there.
Yeah, Bob, Thursday of the Masters is my favorite Thursday of the year.
I said the same thing.
On Twitter yesterday.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And everyone was like, all my friends, Ross Tucker was like, hey, dude, the NFL season opens on a Thursday.
So yep, what?
I'm aware. Still not as good as my Thursday for the Masters. Just so you know, Thanksgiving's on a Thursday. Yep, don't care, guys.
Yep.
Thursday for the Masters is my favorite day.
You know what? The only one I compared it to that makes me, I think, equally as happy, not quite as happy because I'll always take round one of the Masters over this, but day one of the traditional lineup for the NCAA tournament, right? When the first game starts at noon on Thursday and you know you are settling in for a day of beer and wings and pizza and just fat guy like bathing in basketball, right? I love that Thursday, but the Masters is better.
I'd actually argue that my second favorite Thursday of the year is Thursday of the Open Championship because then I'm like 3 o'clock in the morning, golf is on. Like that's for me, that's my second favorite Thursday of the year.
Oh, you're a professional athlete, and you are such a loser nerd like me, and it makes me happy that we have that like in common. Hey, what about like real quick before we get to football? What about Justin Rose yesterday? Talk about like knocking down every single flagstick, and then comes out on the front nine today and shoots 39.
You know what? I was watching yesterday, and through like 8 or 9 holes, Rose was even par, and then all of a sudden, I turned around like 90 minutes later, and he's 600. And I'm like, wait, did I look at the screen right? Like
right. That's
got to be a misprint or something, graphic wise. And he just got hot. It was one of Dude, he just didn't miss. Every ball that left his club face was perfect. Now he's pulled it back a little bit, and then he just got hot again. He birdied 3 out of the last 4 holes. So, the fact that Spieth is playing well, the fact that JT's playing well, Finau's playing well, like we're setting up just for a sick weekend.
JT is 4 back, about to line up what is actually a relatively makeable eagle putt on 13. So we'll keep folks updated on whether or not he makes that one.
Bobby Shue, just so you know, I played Wednesday and I had 7 straight birdie looks. Just so you know, what Justin Rose did yesterday isn't that all different than what I did on Wednesday.
Yeah,
so,
I can see that.
You
have that kind
one of
game. Yeah, no, there's no. I mean, not that we don't call you long and wrong behind your back. We do, but you know that aside, I was. I mean, again, you were a former pro athlete, and I threw this out there right before you came on. Can you think of another sport or another parallel where you get a guy like Justin Rose yesterday who cannot miss, who is in the zone, knocking down every flagstick, doesn't miss a shot. He's 7 shots better than anybody else on the golf course while he's playing, unconscious. and then the next day comes out, and it's like one-handed swings off into the azaleas in the dogwoods, and he completely loses it. And, like, how much this game crawls into your head, there's nothing in football, right? I mean, like, you're still kind of doing your job in football, even if you're not playing as well as you may have played the previous week. But you never have a situation in football where you just totally, like, lose the ability to play the game the next day.
No. And even, like, I've had games going back to high school, college, and even in the pros where, like, you know, like, 60 minutes before the game as you're warming up, like, today's one of those days. Like, I cannot miss a throw right now. Like, it is just coming off my hands so well. And then you can have the next day where you're bad. But as a quarterback, like, even if I had a terrible day yesterday, like, nothing felt right, ball couldn't come off my hands, I couldn't see anything, I can still go into the next day thinking, like, all right, I'm just going to be completion-driven. I'm just going to find a check down and still, you know, not be a disaster, so to speak. Or even basketball, like, guys who are having an off shooting night, they can still get to the rack and get fouled and go to the foul line or something like that, you know?
That's a great point.
Golf is just that sport where it demands such a finite level of perfection on every single shot, and the littlest alteration has the biggest impact.
And it's hard to come back, as Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst and also golf lunatic like me, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline here. Bob Wischusen in for Max Kellerman on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. All right, well, as much as I could talk with you about the Masters for the next 2 hours, let's get to some football before I have to let you go. Your thoughts, big picture, on what the Jets did, what they got for Sam Darnold, what he is going to experience in Carolina, and now the fact that they seem to be 1,000% zeroed in on Zach Wilson, is that the right thing?
Yeah, I would have kept Sam Darnold just because I think it's likelier that I could have traded out of the two picks somewhere into the 6, 7, 8 range. Still got a big-time player, probably acquired 2 or 3 more picks, and it's likelier that I hit on 6 or 7 out of those 8 or 9 early picks than it is Zach Wilson becoming a Patrick Mahomes type of player. I still believe that Sam Darnold is an incredibly talented guy, and I would argue no young quarterback in the last 40 years of the NFL has been put in a worse situation. And so when people say to me, Dan, we've never seen Sam great, I've looked at them like, well, what in God's green earth do you expect? Who, give me the quarterback name that would have showed you glimpses of greatness. And I think Sam has shown glimpses of, like, really darn good. And so I would have kept stuck with Sam. Now, do I fault Joe Douglas for the justification of I want to reset the financial time frame? I can't fault him on that, and I can understand it. I think they got what they could get for Sam given kind of what the other quarterback movement has been. Sam going to Carolina is great because, one, this will be the first time Sam's been coached. You know, the difference, Bob, between NFL coaches and college coaches, and you know this, NFL coaches are result-driven. We don't care. Just figure out a way, right? Our job is on the line almost every week. And so it's like whatever we got to do to win. Where college coaches are process-driven. College coaches are developers. And Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, the head coach and the OC, are recently attached to the college game. And this will be the first time that Sam will get coached and developed. And so I love that. The fact that they wanted him. Them sitting at 8, if they wanted one of those other guys this year, they could have gotten him. They could have gotten them. And I don't think they're going to take somebody this year. I really don't. So I love the fact that they wanted them. Here's the thing for me with the Jets right now. The decision has been made.
Yep.
I don't believe that there's a general manager in the NFL with more pressure on him than Joe Douglas.
Yep.
I don't think there's a general manager in the NFL that's going to be more influential because of all the picks that he has. The Jets have been really bad, as you know, because they've been really bad in the first round of the draft over the last 10 years. But if Joe Douglas hits like he did last year over the next couple drafts, then we're talking about a completely different Jets football team.
Yeah, I mean, the people that I was really having a tough time with yesterday, when I looked at how this sends kind of a ripple effect to other teams, I agree with you. I think Carolina did well. I think Sam's going to do well there. I mean, the best skill guy that he had in 3 years with the Jets will probably be the fourth best skill guy on his team next year. So he's going to have a completely different experience with Joe Brady calling plays and also with the guys he has a chance to play with next year, number one. I think the Jets' philosophy was they didn't really see a huge talent difference wide-angle lens between what they think Zach Wilson can be and what they think Sam Darnold can be. And if you don't really see a big talent difference between the two, then you go with the rookie and reset the financial clock. That makes a lot of sense. Real quick, Dan, 30 seconds to go. What I said yesterday, and I'll see if you agree, the people I would be furious with if I were a fan would be if I was rooting for Washington or Chicago as like the jumping off point, and I've got Ryan Fitzpatrick or Andy Dalton as my quarterback, and I looked at having one of those guys as a checkbox, and I wasn't even interested in Sam Darnold, and I let Carolina get him. Like, why were those teams not involved? Those are the GMs out of all of this that I would be most angry with if I was rooting for one of those teams.
Yeah, 100% agree, specifically to Chicago, because at least there was upside and intrigue with Sam Darnold that you could just get it out of him in a different situation. If I was a Bears fan and I look at what it costed Carolina to go get Sam, I'd be sitting there going, we are absolutely clueless with what we're doing at the quarterback spot.
You're the best. I wish I could do like another however many hours with you.
Yeah. You're the man, brother. I miss you, dude.
Thanks, Phil. I'll see you soon.
Later,
that
buddy.
Is Dan Orlovsky joining me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Again, 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN is the telephone number. If you're on hold, stay right there. If not, we'll get to you after the break. And by the way, I'm going to throw one more thing regarding Sam Darnold and the Jets and the 49ers at you when we come back. Something that I have been led to believe, and if I were a 49ers fan, I wouldn't be happy about it. I will tell you how the trade that they made with the Dolphins could have been impacted by the Jets and why you shouldn't be happy. When we come back, Bob Beschusen in for Max Kellerman.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Bob Beschusen in for Max. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. L.A., you worried about the Lakers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Spoke with Dan Orlovsky just a moment ago. Expect to be joined by Mina Kimes coming up in the next hours. So we're just going to roll through the cast of NFL Live and bring them all on one by one. But real quick, we do have a Laker fan, I think, that wants to weigh in. Derek in California is on hold. He's got something to say. What's up, Derek?
What's going on? Happy Friday, sir.
You too.
Hey, just wanted to cut to the chase. Scale from 1 to 10 about being worried about the state of the Lakers right now. I'm going to say a 4 only because, you know, with the big two, LeBron James, Anthony Davis being out, it's good to be on the side of caution than, oh, just go ahead and just play them and see what happens. It's like, you know, let the injuries heal, and then when they're ready to go, boom, they're going to be ready to come playoff time. Now with Kuzma and
Tucker
being out.
Yep.
That's kind of a blow in regards to the current road trip. But it's like I'm thinking it's like, okay, 7-game road trip, if they can at least get, I say, 3-4, I'm good with that. Now if they went 0-7, I'd be a little bit worried because it's like it's premature right now to say that, oh, the Lakers are gonna be playing in the play in game 7-10. No, that's not the case. So I'm thinking when push comes to shove, the team's going to come back relatively healthy. I'm not going to say 100% healthy. I'd be happy with 95%, anywhere between a 3-5 seed. Let the Lakers go out, do what they got to do in the West. And yep. What happens this year for the NBA Finals, hey, it's all well and good. And
look, if I'm a Laker fan, again, there's no reason for you not to have blind faith, that when you get LeBron and AD, and then you've got Kuzma and Talen Horton-Tucker, that whole group comes back. It doesn't matter who gets put in front of you. It doesn't matter the order in which you play them. It doesn't matter home, road, whatever. You just have a blind faith that you're going to go out there and win. You have every right to feel that way, that they're the best team, and the best team, when they're finally healthy and back on the floor, should win. I think your goal is right. Avoid the play-in game, because you don't want to play a game 7 against a lesser team. And now you're the Super Bowl, and they've got one punch, and they go out there, and they just shoot the lights out from 3, and all of a sudden, you're home. And you're shaking your head going, I cannot believe we've got Anthony Davis, LeBron James on our team, and we're home. So just stay out of that play-in game. And if you do that, I agree. I think the Lakers have every right to believe, and their fans have every right to believe, that once the cast is back, regardless of who you play in and what order, these are all teams you have to go through anyway. I mean, at some point, you're probably going to have to go through the Suns and the Jazz, right? So, and or the Clippers. But you get that group back, you should be fine. And Lakers-Nets tomorrow night, ABC, right here on ESPN Radio as well. What I would be worried about of a Laker fan, at least for tomorrow night's game, is if Kevin Durant gets in the zone. Get in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I think there's a chance that Kevin Durant may, because Kevin Durant missed, the better part of 2 months, and came back, stepped right on the floor the other night, midway through the second quarter for the Nets, and was 5 for his first 5. And I would expect tomorrow night will be the build-up. Steve Nash will further build up the minutes for Kevin Durant. And the more the minutes build and the more he starts to feel like himself, the more he becomes Kevin Durant again, he may really put a hurting on the Lakers tomorrow night. And the Nets are unbelievable. They just keep on finding ways to win. Let's go to Kirk in Virginia, who joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Bob Bushu's in it for Max Kellerman on The Kellerman Show. What's up, Kirk?
How you doing? This might sound crazy, but the Jets actually still, I know they don't want to do it, and that's what's maddening about it. They still have a chance to trade their pick. Now, they got value for Sam Darnold. That may or may not have been the thing to do.
Yep.
But they've done that. They got value for him. And, I mean, what they need to do now is trade down.
Yeah, they're not
and
doing
bring
that.
Players.
I'll just tell you right now, they're not doing that.
I know that. I mean, it's a shame they're not going to do it because that's really what they need to do.
Why?
If they bring in this quarterback from BYU, they'll be lucky if he doesn't get injured by week 4.
Well, you don't know
that.
I mean, he's got tremendous mobility, but, like, you don't stay at number 2, trade your quarterback, unless you're staying at number 2 to take a quarterback. Right? If they were going to trade down, they wouldn't have traded Sam Darnold. It's one or the other. There is no option C. Option A, you keep Sam Darnold and you trade the number 2 pick and try and mortgage it for a whole bunch of other picks and keep Sam Darnold as your quarterback, or you trade Sam Darnold for picks and you take a quarterback. But if you now trade down from number 2 after you traded Sam Darnold, you run the risk, depending on where you trade to, of not getting a quarterback, or certainly not getting the quarterback you want. And the quarterback you want is what the NFL is all about. And that's the never-ending quest. Everybody's looking for their quarterback. So the Jets obviously feel like Zach Wilson can be their guy for the next 10 years, and this new regime wants to hitch their star and hitch their wagon to Zach Wilson. That's why they traded Sam Darnold, not to also additionally now trade down and risk not getting their guy. And if you trade down, you're certainly not going to get your guy, because whoever trades up to number 2 is only doing that to go get a quarterback. And we have to take a quick break. We'll get more calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I did say I was going to talk about this segment. I'm going to double tease you because I have not gotten a chance to talk about it this segment. We're going to talk about it next segment. Again, if you're a 49ers fan, when we come back, I'll tell you what I think you need to know about an Adam Schefter report, about the deal they made with the Dolphins, and about what might have happened with the Jets. And is this something that if you're a 49ers fan, you'd be angry about even after they made that huge move up to number 3. I'll tell you about that when we come back. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Bob Wischusen in for Max, the Max Kellerman Show. Coming right back on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Bob Wischusen in for Max, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. We'll get right back to the phones at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But 2 segments ago, I teased this, and then I screwed you because I didn't talk about it last segment. That was my bad. It's bad radio hosting. So now I am 2 segments later, finally going to let you know something that was told to me that backed up what Adam Schefter reported about the trade that the Niners made with the Dolphins to go up to number 3. And Adam Schefter reported that the Niners never called the Jets, that there was no substantive conversation between the Jets and San Francisco for the number 2 pick. And I was led to believe by a couple of people that I talked to that, A, Adam's 100% right about that. The Niners never went to the Jets and pursued the number two pick. Here's what would worry me, though, if I were a 49ers fan. I was also led to believe that if the 49ers had offered the Jets for the number two pick what they offered the Dolphins for the number three pick, Jets would have taken it. So why San Francisco didn't go to the Jets to try to get the number two pick to make sure that they were going to get their guy, whatever quarterback that might be, or maybe even get Zach Wilson, who it certainly seems like the Jets have now focused solely on in trading Sam Darnold, I have no idea. Doesn't make any sense to me, right? Like, if you know you want to trade up to go get a quarterback, and you know the one pick is an island unto itself, there's absolutely no offer that I think anybody anywhere in the NFL could make to Jacksonville to get Trevor Lawrence. You're not getting the number one pick. Urban Meyer took that job to go to Jacksonville to coach Trevor Lawrence. So that's Pluto. Like, that's off in a totally different universe. Staying at least in the realm of the possible, Niners go to three to get which quarterback? Maybe Mac Jones? Maybe Justin Fields? Did they have no interest in Zach Wilson? Why wouldn't they call the Jets? Because I was told by a pretty reliable person that if that offer had been made to the Jets, very, very strong possibility the Jets would have taken that offer, the same offer that San Francisco made to Miami to move to three. They could have gotten to two, and then the Jets would have traded the two pick out. They would have kept Sam Darnold and added all of that draft capital and surrounded Sam Darnold with a tremendous amount of talent and gone in that direction. But ultimately, the Jets were left when San Francisco went to three with no trade partner, and now are sitting there going, all right, well, we've got Sam Darnold, and we're going to have to pay him in the not-too-distant future, or we got Zach Wilson, and we can reset the financial clock at quarterback, and we think the two of them are basically going to kind of maybe be on the same level potential-wise. So if you've got two players that you're categorizing as roughly similar in terms of what you think their NFL ceiling is, and that still shows you how highly the Jets think of Sam Darnold, that I don't know that they saw a huge talent gap between what they think Sam Darnold still can be and what they think Zach Wilson can be. And that's not meant to knock Zach Wilson down a couple of pegs as well. Believe me, they think Zach Wilson can be really, really good. And both things can be true. Sam Darnold can go be good, and Zach Wilson could come to the Jets and be good. Right? So it's not meant to be in any way a sign that the Jets don't really think they're getting something special in Zach Wilson. It's a sign that there were a lot of people inside the Jets building that still believed Sam Darnold could do this and do this at a very high level, and I think they would have been willing to take the same offer that San Francisco used to get to three. They could have gone to two, and then the Niners would have had their choice of all these other quarterbacks after Trevor Lawrence instead of waiting to see what the Jets did and then getting the third quarterback. Why you don't call the team with the two pick and you only go up to three, and that's the only offer you make, makes no sense to me. Makes absolutely no sense. I mean, the same team that gave Jimmy Garoppolo like $125 million and somehow was not hung out to dry for that, they don't really get criticized for that at all. And the Jimmy Garoppolo contract right now looks terrible. Right? It's a $125 million contract for a quarterback they're now trying to move on from. At least the Jets are moving on from Sam Darnold before they paid him. San Francisco traded for Jimmy G, paid him, and now they're trying to move on from him. And they could have gotten it too. And didn't. Never made the call. What I was told, Adam Schefter's report, 100% right. Makes no sense. Why would you not call the Jets and try to get to two if you're going to make a trade to go to three? But they didn't. And if I were a Niners fan, that would make me angry. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get to Mike in Reno, who joins us next here.
Hey, bud, how you doing? Radio.
What's up, Mike?
So, hey, I was wondering, nobody's talking about the Vikings. Now they got their defense back. They got Michael Pierce, Neil Hunter, Anthony Barr all coming back.
Yep.
Abysmal defense last year. Do you think we pick somebody in the draft like a Michael Parsons or a Quiddy Pay, or do you think we got to reach our offensive lineman like Vera Tucker?
I would definitely go offensive line. That would be my highest priority if I were them. Right? I mean, Riley Reif gone, so right there you need a tackle. I think they probably need a guard about as badly as they need a tackle. I would be surprised, unless you have, you know, a pass rusher on the board that you've got as a top 10 player, and it's just that the talent commands you to, you know, to pick a different player than offensive line where you're picking. I guess I could see that, but if I'm them, I am looking offensive line 1, 2, and 3 in terms of priority. I, you know, because Kirk Cousins is a quarterback, and that's still where you're at, where he needs to have the full complement of talent around him to be good enough to win, right? He's not the guy that's going to overcome mediocre to poor offensive line play, or he's not the guy that's going to make average wide receivers better. He's not going to make a poor tight end average. He's not raising the level of anybody that plays around him. So you need everybody around him to be really good. You better protect him because they've got a really good 1-2 punch at receiver. So in my opinion, that would be where I would go. I think you have to go offensive line if you're Minnesota. I'll be surprised if they don't. What is the difference between gamesmanship and cheating? We've heard a lot about that in baseball. We'll talk about that in hour number two of the Max Kellerman Show at ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.